Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everyone, it's Michael. If you haven't heard, we have just launched the new Union Pro Mentors program where you can take office hours with pro players from top leagues, get world-class coaching, do mindset workshops, have video breakdown sessions, get help with college recruiting, join parent education portals, and so much more, all exclusively for goalkeepers. It all launches Monday, October 23rd, so be sure to join Union Premium risk-free to take advantage of all there is to offer. Go to unionsports.com/join or the Union GK community on Apple or Google Play stores. Thanks again for making the Union possible, and on with the show. Welcome to Inside the 18. I'm Michael Magid, live from Hollywood, California. With me in Woodland Hills, California, the one and only 99 World Cup winner, Saskia Weber. And joining us from one of the islands in Hawaii, to be determined which one it is, Racing Louisville GK, Olivia Sakaney. Liv, I'm not going to lie. I feel like the reason that you're blurring out everything in the background is because it's like, it's way cooler than anything that we got going on. And you're like, you know what? I don't want you guys to be disappointed by the fact
I don't
that
need to
like,
rub it in. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There's like dolphins in the background and like
palm trees. Yeah. It's great. Yeah.
Coconuts, all that sort of stuff.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly the reason. It's definitely not because it's a boring, busy hotel business center. So we'll just go with the dolphins.
Yeah, we'll absolutely go with the Dolphins. So but for those of you guys who weren't familiar and everything like that, Liv has been on this kind of this journey with us, you know, for the last, a few years and everything like that. Obviously, all the way from the high school game, you know, all the way up to the pro game now. Liv, kind of catch us up before we kind of get into today's topic, which I think is going to be really good. Like, what's going on with you now, that you've had like your whole first season and everything like that, just kind of reflecting back, how was that experience for you?
Yeah, I mean, my rookie season was absolutely incredible. Like, I couldn't have asked for a better team to start with. Racing, the whole staff, all the players were so, so amazing. So welcoming from day one, you know, even though I went in on kind of uncertain ground. If you listen to the previous episodes I've been on, you'll know what's up. But yeah, no, everybody was so welcoming. And I feel like I grew so much as a player and a person. Huge shout out to Sergio for bringing me in the first place, and then also just working with him day in and day out. I feel like I grew so much as a player, and I'm, you know, just it's all upside from here, and I'm just so excited to keep moving and keep pushing with this club
and just hang out at more business centers and hotels. That's honestly
exactly
that's
living the dream.
The
direct correlation. Yeah.
Now, Sus was having connection issues, so she'll be joining us in a second right here. But I think, you know, one of the really kind of cool things about that is that you really were able to create a community of people that were behind you for this journey. And, like, it wasn't like you were just kind of on your own with it. Like, you were there, and, like, Sergio was there, and then it sounds like, you know, Katie and Hillary and all the other goalkeepers, Jordan and stuff, they were all really supportive of you in this experience. So they didn't make you feel like an outsider that came to a camp, you know, and then was a non-roster invite. And then even when you got a spot, like, they welcomed you with open arms.
Absolutely. And I mean, honestly, our goalkeeping core is so, so great. Like, it's a difficult dynamic in any environment, especially when you get up to, you know, college and the pros. It's highly competitive. Realistically, we're all competing for the same job. But at the same time, it was never, it's never been a hostile environment. And like you said, like from day one, everybody was so welcoming. And I never felt like I was being treated differently because I came in as a non-roster invitee. And I think it really went to the character of the whole group. And then also just the fact that we're all there to get better and we're all there to work hard to better the program, better the team. So it was a great little squad, and we had a lot of fun training every day. So it was a good time.
I mean, honestly, that's the most important thing, is that you guys get along together in that training environment. I think a lot of people forget the fact that being a professional, it's not about the match. Like, obviously it's about the matches for the final results, but the actual process is being in that training environment day in and day out. And so if you're in an environment where you get along with people, everyone's going to be more successful.
Absolutely. Everybody's going to just have a way better time. You know, I know personally, like, I'm at my best from a performance standpoint and on the pitch when just holistically I'm feeling well and good as a human being. And a big part of that is definitely my tribe and the people that are around me. And you obviously can't always control that, but it's very nice when you have other people that are going out there to try to make it a positive experience. Because yeah, at the end of the day, it's a stressful thing inherently and in and of itself to be in that environment every day where you're expected to perform at your best. So it's nice to have other people around that are, you know, trying to make it a positive experience to mitigate some of that stress and remember why we're there, which is to enjoy it at the end of the day.
I mean, Sus, can you hear us now?
Yeah, sorry about that. Just some, maybe it's the wind. Who knows?
Oh, those Santa Ana winds going on right now. I was just talking to Liv, and just like, you know, a lot of people forget about the fact that like being a pro is really about those grinding day in and day out at training, more so than the matches, more so than going on the road trips and all that. And that if you're really going to make it as a pro, you need to learn how to be able to handle those environments and find a community in those environments where you're going to keep getting better. So,
yeah, absolutely. And you have to learn how to, it's all time management, understanding your body when you're away from the team, when you're away from the field, what you need to do best for yourself. And so every day you have to show up at your best. I mean, you can have a bad day, but you know, you never know when your time's going to come. You never know when you're going to get called or what's going to happen. So you're not just a pro when you like walk onto the pitch. You are a pro all the time.
Yeah. And by the way, I love the way, Sus, the way with your USA soccer hat on right there and like live like over there, like it looks like she is a conducting an exit interview with you right now. Like
that's awesome.
She's like nodding her head. She's like, you're right.
I'm attentively listening. Yep.
But let's talk about a little bit about that before we kind of get into the topic, Liv. Like, you made the decision to go to Hawaii and spend a little bit of R&R time there. How important for you was that after like a long, grueling, because obviously way longer season than college, way longer season than college.
Just a little bit.
Just like by just six, like 7 months,
like 300% yeah. Longer. Yeah, for sure. Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
No, I was just gonna say, I was like, you know, to be able to switch off for a minute and just get a little bit of time to recover, like, isn't that also really important too?
Well, it's massively important. And I think one of the things that I didn't do enough of growing up and throughout my high school and college career was take time for myself. Because, like I said, as I've gotten older, especially, I've found that I perform best when I am taking care of myself holistically.
Yes.
And taking time to be like, I always say, my teammates and I always say, like, be a normal human being or like a normal person. And like, obviously we are normal people, but it doesn't always feel that way. Cause Sasuke's right. Like, you're switched on. It's a 24/7 job when you're on the clock, like in season, you're thinking about nutrition. You're thinking about sleep. You're thinking about recovery, doing all the things right to prepare yourself then for those sessions. But at the end of the day, that's only a small portion of your day.
It's hard to switch off though.
It's like, super hard.
like when you got to Hawaii, like, yeah. And just to say, you know, I'm to switch off of training at that level, to thinking at that level, to eating at that level, to everything. It's almost like you feel guilty.
Absolutely.
You feel guilty to switch off and take that holistic time for yourself. It's a really weird place to be in your mind.
It is. It definitely is. And I think one of the things I'm kind of trying to segment my off season. So like, this is the very obviously beginning part. We just finished. Like, I keep feeling like it was like months ago, and it was a few weeks ago that we officially wrapped. But like this first chunk is kind of my R&R time. Out here in Hawaii, which is nice to be kind of physically removed and be able to unplug a little bit more in that sense. And then, yeah, and then I'm going to TKI in a few weeks to get back at it a little bit and start kind of tapering back into training. Obviously, I have to get back at it so I don't just sit on my butt all off season. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right though. It is tough to switch off and get into that rest and recovery headspace because it's very unnatural for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was gonna say, like when you said you're like, I'm gonna go to TKI in a couple of weeks. I'm like, oh, is there a TKI Hawaii now? Is this franchising out now? This is
no, I wish. Yeah.
Let's talk to Jill about that one. TKI
I know,
Hawaii.
Right? It'd be awesome. No.
Absolutely be down with that. Well, actually, that they will be in San Diego, which is kind of like Hawaii, except for, you know, not.
Yeah, it's the Hawaii of island. California. Right.
There you go.
there we go. All right, let's get into today's topic. And by the way, before we kind of do that in regards to like individual development plans, shout out to Liv Sicani. She's a new union mentor, pro mentor. She's already been doing some sessions with some people. Liv, can you explain to us kind of why you decided you wanted to get involved in a program like that and help out younger players?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, helping out the next generation of players is something that I've always been passionate about. Ever since, I mean, like high school, I was helping out with the U8 and U9 teams at my club, just because it brings me a lot of joy on like a personal level and a lot of personal fulfillment to help impart, you know, sort of the things that I've learned over the course of my career and, you know, go all the experiences that I've gone through. If I can help guide the next generation and help them not have to face some of the obstacles that I've hit on the course of my career, then I want to absolutely do that and advocate for them. And also too, it's fun to work with people in the community and make those connections and really give back because soccer has done so much for me. So yeah, I was super excited and I jumped at the opportunity to get to be a part of the union mentorship program. So yeah, sign up for sessions. I would love to work with more people. So anything I can do to help the community, I'm always down.
And it's very easy, guys. If you want to do it, all you have to do is go to the landing page on the app or on the desktop and just go to one-on-one coaching right here as we're showing. You click on that. Then you find office hours and you've got all the different people and y'all choose Liv right here. I see she's available today, right now. Probably not right now because she's doing the podcast. So, but we'll just say that this is a mentoring session right now.
Exactly.
You click on that. You'll find out her bio. You'll find out like what she wants to provide during her mentoring time. And then the time's available and you just press book now. And then you just have to confirm that you are Omar Zini. That's what you do. No, you don't confirm that you're Omar Zini. You just confirm who you are actually. And then you got your session. And Liv, I think actually you worked with somebody in Northern California, which is kind of cool because like they're kind of going through the same youth experience as you.
Yeah, it was awesome. I had a meeting this past week with a girl from San Francisco, and that's like obviously right in my backyard, right where I grew up. And she's playing for an ECNL team in a club that I used to play for when I was in high school. And so that was funny. It was kind of full circle. But yeah, it was, again, awesome to get to connect with her. And I think we both got a lot out of it because we had, yeah, some shared experiences. And I kind of understood the landscape of what she was going through in terms of like just geographically some of the schools that she was talking to, because growing up as a goalkeeper in the Bay Area, I also talked to some of those schools. And yeah, she's going through the recruiting process, which is something I did not once but twice with the transfer portal. So, you know, good stuff to get to relate to her on. So it was a great time. I really enjoyed our conversation.
I mean, you know, I do want to get into the topic, but Susk, I think it is really important that there are pro mentors in this program that are a little bit closer in age with a lot of these players. And
what are you trying to say? Kind of,
no, I don't mean
throwing shade over there.
I mean, as in the college recruiting process, they're a little bit more familiar with how it is today type of a thing. And then also not only that, but it's more of a peer-to-peer mentorship type of situation, as opposed to like a coach talking to you based on concept. Liv can be like, oh no, I actually went through this.
No, absolutely. And the thing I love the most is that you're talking to somebody, well, you're in Hawaii right now, but you're talking to somebody in California and the reach can be global. For people that need to, like, you can be talking to somebody in France that wants to maybe look at Bay Area schools or loves Racing Louisville or, you know, what have you. And that reach for your mentorship is what's so incredible about the union. When back in the day, you know, it was just the kids around your neighborhood or in the local clubs, wherever you were playing, that's as far as your reach went. And now, you know, with this, you can reach the masses, and it's amazing.
So speaking on masses, let's get into the topic, because I think a lot of the masses are going through this right now, Liv. I mean, as in college seasons are wrapping up, pro seasons are wrapping up, youth club seasons are wrapping up. This is the wrap-up time before the holiday season, basically, in soccer. Yeah. So, yeah.
And wasn't signing day yesterday, right?
Yeah, yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So it's all kind of coming together. So this is really cool, Liv. First off, is you were able to share, you know, your individual development plan, and you've got it basically from preseason all the way to now the postseason. Well, not postseason, but you know what I mean? Like after the season's over. I don't know what that's called. I'm doing my flu game right now, by the way, guys. I was literally sick in bed all night last night. I literally was rolling around on the ground this morning. I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this podcast. There's no way. And I just literally have put all my energy into doing the podcast. That's how much I care about you all and this topic. I'm loopy. So what are the benefits of exit interviews, first off, Liv?
I mean, it's just a great way to summarize. Obviously, like we talked about, the pro season especially, it's just such a long season. And I mean, even college season, by the end of it, by the time you get done, it just feels like you started ages ago. So an exit interview can be a really great way to just kind of encapsulate everything that you went through, everything that you worked on. And the great thing about IDPs like this is that I have like just written out sort of mile markers for my progress over the course of the last 9 months. And it makes it really easy to then go through and look at all those things and see where I've made improvements and where I still need to work. And the other thing with the exit interview is then now I can look at all these IDPs and look at my sort of final IDP and be like, okay, these are the things that I feel like I kind of have checked off my list. And then these are the things that I need to take into off season and really hone in on and develop during the individual time that I can get during the off season. That is really, really valuable, because you can't even always get that in season. You can really just lock in on your own needs and wants in terms of training.
And by the way, you know, and Suska, I want everyone out there who's watching this to know this. When we're looking at these IDPs, and thanks, Liv, for being vulnerable and willing to share these numbers and everything like that. So this is the preseason right here, but we're referring to this based on an NWSL level. This is not, you know, you look at this and go like, well, how's Liv playing in the NWSL? Like, her distribution when she came in preseason was a 2. Like, no, this is like what is expected of you at that level. And I think that's really important, Liv, for people to hear that, because like the expectations as you jump levels gets higher and higher, right?
Absolutely. And the funny thing about this page in particular too is Sergio sent this to me to fill out before I even got to Louisville. And so I was sitting at TKI, and I've never been in an NWSL. I'd been in a couple of training sessions at OL Reign back when I was in Seattle at UW, but I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, I've trained with some NWSL goalkeepers here at TKI, but I'm like, I don't really know how I should rank myself in comparison to these other people. Right. I'm sitting next to Kaylin Sheridan. She goes, I'll fill it out for you. I was like, okay. I didn't end up taking her up on that, but that was just a funny little anecdote about this page. But yeah, and I think it's funny because it definitely changed. This page changed a lot over the course of the season for me, especially going into the last few months. And then even in my first meeting with Sergio that I had, he was like, I think you were maybe a little modest. And I definitely was, because I was also nervous. I was like, I don't really know Sergio that well. I don't want to like hype myself up.
Put
so much.
A bunch of fours on it. Just a bunch of fours right, up there.
Right. Sure. But I don't want to undersell myself. So I was like, yeah, there was a lot. This page took a lot longer than you might think, just looking at how simple it is. Yeah. But yeah.
So, any thoughts?
No, I mean, it's hard to do that yourself. You know, I love that Sheridan wanted to fill it out for you, but it is hard. And you have, and even if you equate it to like college camp, like when you ask kids to do it, their perception of themselves can just waver so much. You know, you have some kids that would come in with fours across the board, like, you know, and you have to kind of be realistic and not be too humble at as well. And it's, you know, coming in and seeing where you're at by your exit interview is huge. And it'd be funny, like, if probably not you, but it'd be funny to put this, them, like, if you put it side by side. I just think about camp when we ask kids to, like, you know, rank themselves in certain things in camp, and then they we come back at the end of camp, you know.
It's, they're like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. It's usually not as high as they rank themselves, which is always really funny because their parents probably fill it out for them. But but it is a huge tool to have.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and I think one of the things that that's really important about this too here, Liv, is the fact is that I guess these kind of progressed as we kind of like if we go into like this is now like in season, right? So now we're seeing like the scores are going up. So it's like you're telling yourself, oh, you know what? Based on the work that I've put in now, I feel like this is now a three, whereas before it was a two. I think a lot of youth players out there need to do this more consistently because they're kind of just waffling around and just going, I don't know, I think I'm getting better. But they don't really know.
Yeah, for sure. I think regular self-evaluation is so, so important. And I mean, again, shout out to Serge. He was really great about, you know, having us update these on a semi-regular basis. Like we met almost once a month to go over these. And it's very, very helpful, like I said, sort of to have mile markers in terms of your progress, because it can sort of feel, it can feel really daunting when you're like, okay, I have all this time and all these things to work on all the time. So to kind of chunk it out and make it a little bit more manageable and a little bit more bite-sized. And then also to be able to go through and say, okay, yeah, this is where I felt like I was 2-3 months ago. I think this is the second one. This would be from like July. So we're going from like February to July. Like, okay, 6 months ago, 5 months ago, I was here, but I feel like I've made huge strides in this area. And now I can bump myself up a number, and that's a good little pat on the back. And you got to do that every once in a while, because it's, we have a hard job and you don't get a lot of pats on the back all the time. So it's important to, you know, celebrate little victories like that. And I think that this is a great way to incorporate that into your evaluation as well.
No, absolutely.
So question about this. So now I'm looking at this whole thing right here, the technical tactical. Did you fill all this out as well too, or was this the club that filled all this out?
This was me filling all this out. So Sergio, like, this was blank other than the bolded stuff on the left side of the columns, but then all the right sides of the columns were blank, and I had to fill all of that in.
Okay. Gotcha. I would think that also, because this you're also talking about, this is the preseason one, and then you did it during season as well too. Like, is it more nerve wracking to do it in preseason when you're trying to make a roster than when you're already involved in the process?
I think it was more nerve wracking doing it. By far, my most nerve wracking one was the first one I ever did.
Right.
In part because, you know, I haven't been in the environment. And I don't know, like, I didn't have as good of a grasp of how I was going to stack up. I didn't have as good of a grasp on what Sergio's standards were going to be for things. And, you know, I think, and also too, just like kind of how he was, I'd known him very briefly. And so I was like, I don't know if he's going to be like real intense and really, you know, hard on me, or if he's going to be real easy go. Like, I don't know what the vibe is on that. So that first one was definitely by far the most stressful. But then, yeah, as you kind of get into a groove, as you kind of get into a rhythm, even over the course of like preseason, by the end of preseason, I felt a lot more comfortable, and I felt like I had a lot better handle on, you know, where I was realistically in terms of my self-evaluation for these.
And I think also, you know, again, at that point, you've been training with Sergio. You know the players around you, and there's also that communication within your training. Like, absolutely. You know, it's not like, okay, here's my self-evaluation, boom, silence. It's, all right, this is, you know, this is what you put down, and you can see yourself getting better. So you can, you know, you have more of a grasp on how to evaluate yourself per that coach or per what you're doing in training.
Yeah,
you're more comfortable with it.
Absolutely.
Liv, I got a question, because obviously this is, you know, this is pretty profound, but you're obviously talking about the professional level. So it's the highest level here. But let's say you're, you know, a 10 or 11 or 12 year old, how would you, I don't want to say dumb it down, but how would you simplify this process during the foundational phase for them to be able to do this too?
I mean, I think that something I actually used to do, with my coaches back in middle school, high school age was I would have semi-frequent conversations with them about, you know, what I need to work on. Where are some areas that you see I can grow in? And then, you know, kind of take notes on that, figure out, okay, I'm going to make a plan in terms of how I can improve on that. Say it was like, okay, we want your goal kicks to be better. I'm like, okay, sounds great. I'm going to take 10 goal kicks after every training or whatever, 20 goal kicks after every training. And I'm going to do that for a month. And then I'm going to go back in and I'm going to check with my coach again and see how I'm doing on that. And that's like a way, way simplified, obviously, version of it. But I think that, you know, obviously when you go through, like, especially that second page, like that's very, very in depth, but like something like this third page is very, very adjustable to different levels, because no matter what level you're at, you're going to have areas of focus that you want to work on. You're going to have short-term goals and you're going to have long-term goals. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, like something like this, just super simple, is something that can be applied. Again, like my short-term goals and areas of focus are going to be a little bit more in depth than somebody playing at the club level, obviously, but like I still think that that's very, very applicable to goalkeepers of any age, players in any position of any age.
And I think you brought up a good point. Like, what I think with younger goalkeepers and stuff, especially with something like that, is what are you doing outside of training to work on these things? Like, you're like, okay, I'm going to stay after practice and work on my goal kicks every day. You know, and you have so many young players that, you know, they clock in and clock out when you have training, and especially in club, how much goalkeeper training do you actually get when that happens? So how are you actually working specifically on this? And it's a really different thing for goalkeepers, because there's, you do have to put a lot of private time in. Whether that's with a private coach aside from that or on your own. And so it's a good gauge of, okay, this is the things you have to work on, but what can you do on your own or with a friend or with your parent or with a private coach to actually work on these away from what you're doing? It's not just going to happen.
Yeah.
No, it is not. Absolutely.
Like, coach, and I can't understand why I still can't kick the ball. Well, how much have you worked on it?
By the way, I love the fact that the scoring system right here, how it's set up so that you kind of know what you're dealing with. Like, so one is NWSL practice GK, two squad GK, third a starter, and fourth a top tier NWSL GK. So, I mean, again, that's a tough one to want to put any fours on there, because you're kind of like how are people going to look at me like that?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you know,
for sure.
But you do have some fours on there, and I think it's important that you do share, you know, those types of, because there's a lot of intangibles that you put some fours on here, like, you know, strength, competitor, like those sorts of things.
Yeah, I mean, you better put a four down for like competitor. It's like, yeah, like a one.
I'm okay. I'm all right with it.
Whatever happens.
Nah.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah. For sure. And I think too, in terms of like some of those intangibles, like especially like the presence one that I have four on the sheet is something that I definitely came into more over the course of the season and felt more and more confident about, and then ended up, yeah, feeling confident enough to put a four. Same with strength. I think I've always been big in the weight room, and that's always been one of my, for lack of a better word, like strengths, is my like strength and power. So like, you know, once I got to that level and kind of became more familiar with like, okay, this is kind of the baseline, this is where the majority of the girls are at, this is what things are looking like, then I felt more confident to be able to put those fours down. As time went on. So
you found a business center in Hawaii that's got a solid fitness area too?
Oh yeah, of course. It's got a great gym.
All right, let's do this right here. I want to switch it up a little bit here, and I want to start putting some of this this training footage up here, because I think it's important for people to kind of see the pictures of what we're referring to in that environment that leads to kind of these IDPs. So what's going on here first, and how does an activity like this, as you keep doing this throughout the season, improve those scores?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, excuse me, burning my throat. This is just a super simple distribution and handling warm-up that we went through. I think Serge incorporated this one a little bit later in the season. You know, just kind of switch it up as the 10 months, you know, sort of roll on. But yeah, I mean, one of the nice things about doing drills like this on a semi-regular basis is that it's easy to track your progress. You know, like as the season went on and as we did this more and more, you know, I felt more confident in like my touch in this sort of circumstance and yeah, just my movement through the different gates. And like, yeah, again, I think that having some consistency within the training is really, really helpful in sort of marking your progress.
So I love what you just said right there, because that's the thing that I was thinking about, Susk, is that like a lot of youth coaches out there, they're like, I got to do that. They're always trying to do things or whatever, but it's very difficult, especially for young players, 9, 10, 11, 12, to get into a rhythm if they don't have some sort of a routine where you can actually track and see how things are progressing. If you're always changing it up every session.
Well, we talk about that all the time. Like as a youth coach out there, like who are you coaching for? Are you coaching for the parents to see that the kid's sweating their butt off and flew all over and jumped over hurdles and crawled under things and did that and really didn't progress as a goalkeeper? They just got a hard training session in? Or are you actually doing stuff to progress, to help elevate their skills? Goalkeeping is repetitive. And it's seeing things over and over again, working on your touch over again, working on your movement, working on your balance, it's repetitive. It's not all, you know, back in the day, flying over 5 people to the upper 90 for that photograph for like, you know, a camp. It's not, you know, that's not goalkeeper training. And, you know, doing this stuff will help you gauge, are you getting better at your touch, at your movement, at your handling, holding on to the ball and everything. You can't just change things up. I think you have to have kind of a progression every session that works on kind of every little thing to get into whatever session you're doing.
So somebody giving an order? I feel like there's food order going on right there.
They're ordering a Mai Tai.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's amazing. Liv is literally at a resort.
No, there's like a shipping center in the business center. I think people are like mailing packages out. Sorry about that, everyone. You're getting a little background noise.
No,
but what you said, Saskia, because like one of the big things I think or common misconceptions about like once you get up to the pro level is that you're going to be doing like all these crazy drills and everything's going to be so advanced and like. Every single level that you climb, like from club to college, like you're doing the same sorts of things. The difference is the pace and the speed of service and the like consistency and how clean you can be. So like even going back into the, I almost call it gap plan, like an IDP, obviously mine is going to be more in depth, but I'm all like the categories on there are not like rocket science. Like the categories are all applicable. I might be going into more detail than like a club player would be, but it's still going to be all applicable at every level.
No, and I love what you said because it's so true. As you progress, and it should be like this in the beginning as well, but you find that you get to the point where you're doing like 5 reps, they all have to be clean. Or 10, like you're not doing go, 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 like 100. Like for me with my keepers, I always was like, this is how many reps you're doing, you know, so you know in your head, but I want you to focus on everything, whether it's balance, handling, catch the ball. You know how I feel about that, Mike, and everything. Yeah. You know, it's not just go and go and go until you're going to throw up. It's actually let's get something like let's focus out of this. And I mean, how often are you that tired in the goal in a game? Like, you know, there's a time and a place for pressure training and for all of that. But like, honestly, when you're working on advancing your skills, your touch, your everything, like it's got to be, you know, within a certain bubble.
You know, that's interesting that you said that, Susk, because, you know, it's just making kind of me reflect, like sometimes when I get a young goalkeeper from a different environment and I'll be like, all right, do you need to take a break? And they'll be like, no, I'm good. And it's like, are you sure?
I do that.
And I'm like, it's not a sign of weakness to like have to recover. And I try to explain to these young goalkeepers that I'm like, you're not sprinting around the field the whole time. Like it's
no, anaerobic. I think the other thing sometimes is it's okay to step back. Like I used to watch my keepers. I won't at UCLA. I won't call them by name, but I used to watch my keepers and be like, I think take a break, like step out. And it wasn't physical. It was mental. you've made this, you let up a weak goal, and now you're so frustrated, you're letting up two more weak goals. Walk away from this for a second. You know, be able to show me that you can regroup and come back. And it's the same to me. That's a mental state within a game. You let up a weak goal. Are you so frustrated and set on that weak goal that you're going to keep making mistakes, or can you regroup yourself if I give you a moment and then come back stronger? You know, Is somebody in my house?
I mean, we got shipping containers being packaged. We've got people ordering Mai Tais. We got dolphins floating in the background.
I wish we were ordering Mai Tais right now.
We got people giving lunch orders at Saskia's house, like all sorts of stuff. We got the Santa Ana winds. I'm sick. It's quite a podcast.
That's actually true, because we had an alert that they might have to cut the power tonight. Because DWP sent out for San Fernando Valley for like Malibu for our area and stuff. I'm not in Malibu, I'm in Woodland Hills. But that because the power lines, because the winds are going to be so bad, that they might have to cut power so they don't start a fire.
Wow.
Welcome to California.
Wow. All right. Well, moving forward, if you're going to be out there on those fields, guys, and you want to use the template like this, Liv, like Saskia was saying, it's like, you know, these things don't change, as you were saying, you know, by different levels. It's just that you just get a little bit more precise, and you get a little bit more profound on what this encompasses. But you could use this template with a 9-year-old if you want.
Yeah, absolutely. You could. I mean, yeah, handling, distribution, cross, like these are just things that happen in the game. Sorry, there's people coming in and out. It's a little crazy over here. But yeah, no, this page in particular, and like the last page, like it's very, very widely applicable. You can really, yeah, scale it up, scale it down, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, maybe not this page right here, which is very
it's a little daunting, a little overwhelming.
It's a little daunting. But this, you could do this with a kid. You could do this with a kid, no problem.
I think you should do this with a kid. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And you should get it in their language too, right? So it's not like coach talk, but it's like, you tell me your short-term goals. You tell me your long-term goals, your areas of focus. See, because Liv, I think honestly, and one of the reasons why I wanted to have a player on, you know, while we do part one of this before we get the coach's perspective, is because I think a lot of times, especially at coaching at the youth level, is players start trying to give us what they think we want to hear, or they try to say it in our language. And I'm like, so is that really your short-term goal, or you just think that's what I think your short-term goal should be?
Or is that what AI wrote for you?
ChatGPT.
Oh man.
Oh, don't tell me they're doing that now. Oh no.
ChatGPT IDPs.
Yeah,
yikes.
Yeah, please do not do the AI with your training. So we're going back into these movements and everything like that here. So I noticed that this environment, it's very simple, it's very clean, Sergio's environment and everything. Is that intentional, so that like you have a good like foundation to understand, like, okay, we do this on Tuesdays, next week on Tuesdays we're doing this again. Now, the following week we're doing that on Tuesday, so I can every day journal and say, this got better, this still needs work, yada yada.
Yeah, absolutely. There's always a very clear progression in terms of training throughout the week. And like, I'm very organizationally oriented, which is a nice way of saying that I'm a little bit OCD about my training and my notes and stuff. But so I always really appreciated that. But yeah, like this session in particular, I'm pretty sure this was a match day plus one session. So this was, Katie wasn't there. This was Jordan, Hillary, and I. And those sessions are always going to be either if one of us has something in particular that we've been struggling with and we want to work on, we can come in, we can work on that. Or just generally speaking, there are a lot of handling, a lot of just simple movements, just kind of getting our feet moving, getting our hands going, and just getting some reps to finish out the week before an off day. But then for the broader like week calendar, it was typically, yeah, like a re-entry day after an off day. Again, a lot of handling, a lot of moving. And then we would do sort of mid-range, close range, and then crossing the day before a game, and then obviously into game day. So I definitely, I have a whole thing on my phone of notes from training every day. He would send us this footage, if not every day, like at least once a week. And I would just go through and sit through all my sessions and yeah, take notes and put time codes down of things that I wanted to either watch with him and kind of discuss, or yeah, things that were going well, things that weren't going well. So then that's another, that made like updating my IDPs then really, really easy, because then I had all these notes. I'm like, okay, these are things that I feel like I can check off the list. I feel like I'm doing really well. These are things that I feel like I need to add for this go around, or things that I need to broaden, and things like that.
So I love what you're saying right there, Liv, because like Suska, as we say, it's like the video doesn't lie. So like you can't just make it up. It's like, oh, I think my crossings, I think it's getting a lot better right now, because like you're literally seeing it and you're like, okay, well, I can see. Not saying you're crossing Liv, but I'm just using that as an example.
For sure. Yeah.
No, absolutely, and that's why video is huge. And it, you know, just to be able to self coach. To be able to also and self-evaluate, but also to like, if you don't understand what, let's say hypothetically Sergio was saying or Mike was saying to you as a young player or something, like you can go back and look at it and see it. Okay, well I think my handling's really good. And then you can go back and see, well, okay, this is what Sergio's talking. I'm not saying your handling's fine. I'm not saying that. It's just an example. Just an example.
It's her crossing. It's her handling, her distribution. It's just all
an example.
Yeah, update my IDP.
But as a goalkeeper, one of the biggest things is to learn to self-coach, is to learn to understand, all right, I felt that my balance was off. I felt that I wasn't, you know, handling the ball right, and understanding why. And as you get older as a goalkeeper, to be able to do that is huge. And video is that same as evaluations. It's huge.
So I want to kind of talk a little about the exit interviews now. So like, well, obviously we've been talking a lot about the IDPs and the progression throughout the season and everything. Is it so much easier for you now to like have a solid understanding of like what the process was throughout the entire season when you have these IDPs, you know, periodically, as opposed to just kind of like at the end of the season? I know a lot of young coaches will just do that. They'll just give a review to a goalkeeper, and it's like they all have to kind of think back to like, oh, maybe, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, again, I'm a very visual person, so like having all the film, having all the IDPs is super, super helpful for me. And yeah, I like we were talking about, or like we've said a few times, like the season's just so long that like to be able to catalog and categorize 10 months of sessions and 10 months of data at the end of the year without having any sort of synopses over that period of time is really, really difficult. And so even doing that at the end of a college season, which I had to do a couple of times, was really tough. And yeah, you just forget things or you lose track of things. And then you go to the off season and you're like, oh, I should have been working on this. And so having these IDPs sort of those mile markers and sort of those like little synopses of each month of training made the exit interview super, super seamless. And again, like we could go through and say, okay, these are things that at the beginning of the year were an issue, and now I feel like we've crossed them off and we can focus on other things for the off season.
Yeah, you know, and I was going to say, you know, I think one of the things, Suska, it's obviously very difficult when we're talking about NWSL and exit interviews, is that, you know, there is no reserve team a lot of the times. So, you know, you're basing everything based on the training and the growth during training. There's no matches really that you can evaluate people, except for a handful of people that get playing time.
No, absolutely. Or in scrimmages within your own team and, you know, and everything. So it is hard, and training is huge, and seeing your progression in training is huge, because it is hard to say if you're not a starter. It's hard to say, okay, well, now how's your organization in practice? Like, how are you dealing with this? And that game scenario is kind of on the shelf in a sense, you know, other than, like I said, scrimmages, off-season scrimmages. But a lot of the teams, like even that, like I know with, you know, Angel City, like, you know, we'll train against, you know, other teams, local teams and stuff like that, and you will get the time in, but it's still never the same. It's not the same as being in front of 23,000 people, you know, in a stadium and in the NWSL. So it is based on training.
So is it, you know, Liv, you know, in regards to that, like in regards to based on training and everything, obviously that's a huge difference from when you were, you know, at Washington as the number one, and getting all the match action. So did you have to start finding, you know, and I think this is important for young college players out there listening, more so than youth players who hopefully will be getting playing time, but obviously a lot in college, a lot of players are not getting playing time, to kind of find a different way to process and identify your strengths and weaknesses because you're not getting those games to do it from.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a different mindset that you have to get into, and you have to take what you can get in terms of, we played 11v11 usually about once a week in training. And again, obviously, like Sasuke is saying, like, it's not even close to the real thing. It's a very different environment. But you got to take what you can get. And those games were a good way for me to kind of track my progress and still, kind of get my head back in it, because there are times where you're like, okay, I haven't stepped on an actual game field, or I haven't played in an 11v11 game in months, it feels like. So it's a good way to, feel like, okay, what I'm doing in training is still applicable. What I'm doing in training, I'm still getting, I'm getting better, and it's showing in these games.
Yeah. I think, by the way, my favorite thing is like, as people are walking by in the background, now I understand why it's blurred and everything like that. Cause it's like, oh no, dude, we don't have the NIL rights for the person in the background right there. So
yeah, right. Exactly. It's a legal issue.
Yeah, exactly. That's absolutely what it is. I think with what you're saying right there, it's really hard, because you're like, well, I would have done that in a game, but I didn't do that in the scrimmage because we had just trained for 3 hours and blah, 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 or whatever. Like, so, I mean, obviously, you know, you had a lot of experience where you weren't getting matches. And you were... No, I don't mean that in a derogatory way. It's just, you know, it's just,
he's had a lot of experience as the number two.
But it is like, okay, how do you be like, well, you know, if I hadn't just trained for 3 hours, you know, that probably would have been a little cleaner here. So I can't really say that that's how I would have, done it in a match, because there's other variables here.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think I ever looked at it that way. I think.
Fine. I give myself excuses. Whatever. I think you guys don't. You guys have fours on competitors.
Finish as strong as you start, Mike. Finish as strong as you start. Act as if, I mean, the bottom line is that, you know, your last, even if it's a drill, your last rep, you want as strong as your first rep.
Absolutely.
So Liv, so question for you. So what did you want to, you know, and obviously it's probably different when you were leaving college versus, you know, leaving your first pro season. So let's kind of like compare and contrast those. Like, what did you want to get out of your exit interview when you were leaving Washington? And what did you want to get out of your exit interview when you're leaving Louisville for the season?
I mean, obviously leaving college, looking to the future, to trying to get to the professional game. A lot of my exit interview in college was less review and a lot more just like, okay, what are next steps? And sort of part of that was with an eye to, you know, what talking to my goalkeeper coach and my other coaches about, you know, okay, what do you see as my greatest deficiencies that I need to improve upon in order to get to that next level? And I mean, I think it's a different set of circumstances, but it's a similar approach with this exit interview, because obviously, right, like I was on the bench this year, and that was great. It was a great rookie year, but now we're looking forward to, you know, how do I make an impact? How do I push to get on the field, get game time? Ultimately, I mean, you can see it in my long-term goals. Like, I want to be a starter in this league. So going forward, what are the things now that I have a year of experience as an NWSL goalkeeper under my belt, being on the team, being in the environment, what are the things that I need to improve upon to make that next jump?
Yeah. No, I think that's a really great point right there.
And with pro, I mean, you never know. You know, bottom line, like,
absolutely.
Let's take Angel City right now. You know, Dan left. New goalkeeper coach comes in. Becky has this. You know, head coaching job and stuff. Is Dee Dee's spot secure over Angelina? You know what I mean? Like, you don't know. And so you've got to prep all season as if, you know, number one, look at New York and how many goalkeepers they went through. Okay. And they're in the championship. And so, you know, so you have to be prepared for it. You don't know. Next thing, you might get a call and you might, you know, honestly, you could be on Bay Area. Just saying.
Like, oh, yeah, absolutely. You never know. Well, I mean, the way
just manifesting that out there, Susk.
Right.
I have my beliefs.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, even the way that I got my contract is a testament to, like, you got to just always be ready. Like, they told me at the end of preseason that they're just, you know, they loved me. There wasn't a spot, though, just with the way the roster works out. And then suddenly, you know, they release a girl and somebody gets injured and surprise, you're in. So, yeah, absolutely. It's really important to, yeah, stay focused, be ready so that you never, yeah, like, you never know when that opportunity is going to be there. So I just, yeah. Coming out of this season and going into the off season, I'm trying to do everything that I can do to make sure that I'm ready whenever and wherever that opportunity comes. So,
yeah.
And I think, you know, Liv, you brought up a really good point, because if we're trying to circle it back to like youth players and everything like that, is that like a lot of their exit interviews from like their senior year, you know, their U19 team, ECNL team, that sort of thing, you know, that's going to be basically, look, if I'm a coach, I'm like, this is what's going to get you ready for the next level. This is what I want you to focus on, getting ready to go to college in the fall, that sort of thing, as opposed to like, this was, you know, what this is what I expect from you so that we do better next year type of thing. Like it's not results oriented, it's more personal growth development oriented, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely, it is, for sure. Definitely.
Yeah. I don't know if that was a rhetorical question, Susk. It might have been.
I didn't understand it.
I'm still in my flu game. By the way, it was funny when you brought up Gotham and all the different goalkeepers, because Brody Sams over at Gotham, he's like, oh man, he's like, so sorry, man. He's like, I know we wanted to do some stuff with the union. I apologize. I've been able to get to it yet. I'm like, you've been a little busy. You've been a little busy.
Poor guy. Yeah.
A little busy. You're going to the championship match. Like, really? Yeah. All right, let's start wrapping this all this stuff up right here. Liv, what's kind of your advice for a young player kind of going through their first exit interview? Like, how should they take it? Because I think one of the problems with younger goalkeepers is they get a little defensive because they've never been, for lack of a better term, given that opportunity to be constructively critiqued.
Yeah, I mean, It's an uncomfortable environment for sure when you're going through, you know, all of your footage or all of your stuff from the season, and, you know, you're poking and prodding it and trying to find things that you did wrong. Like, you can frame it as things that you did wrong or things that you can improve on. But I think that one of the most important parts about growth, just, I mean, in general, but in our position in particular, is just like embracing being uncomfortable. Because you're going to stay stagnant. You're not going to grow if you don't push yourself outside of that comfort zone. And so be really, really honest with yourself in terms of your self-evaluation, and then be as open as you possibly can to that feedback, because it's only going to help you. I think embrace the uncomfortability of it, and you're going to thank yourself for that in the long run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Susk, any other thoughts?
Well, I mean, just remember, nobody's got fours across the board, and that's the bottom line. I don't care who you are. Nobody will ever have fours across the board. And if you think you do, you're hitting a wall, because there's always room for improvement somewhere in your game. And as long as you are open-minded and open to that, you'll move forward, but you're never going to be a four across the board.
I think that's the fun part of it, honestly.
It is.
You're fours across the board. There's nothing to improve on. And, like, there's no better feeling than when you've been working and working and working at something and then you finally get it. Like, that's the best.
Absolutely.
So. Yeah. And, you know, and I was just going to say, you know, one of the things, too, is to find people that you trust who are going to be honest with you in this process. I mean, like, you know, we were joking about no one's ever going to have fours on the board, and how, like, Caitlin Sheridan's like, oh, I'll fill it out for you. Type of a thing, like, go fill out mine.
I'd love to see what Caitlin put down.
I really wish. I'm gonna talk to her about it when I see her next. I'm gonna be like, what were you gonna put?
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, maybe I don't want to know.
Yeah, that's why I say young kids don't have your parents fill it out.
No, because they're going to be twos across the board if you got some parent type of parents, you know. So you never know. But I think that is things too. And I think one of the problems, especially Liv, like when you're in an environment, like let's say you're a college environment, like you're the number one and you have a redshirt freshman and you go, hey, what are your thoughts on my crossing? Like they're not going to be honest with you because they don't want to come across as rude or whatever. They're just insecure in their position type of thing. So like maybe finding an outside source that's not involved in your team is the way to go. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud right here.
I don't know. I think that you have to make the environment so that your freshman or your player feels comfortable that they can say whatever they want to you. You know, hey, coach, I really think I'm struggling with my goal kicks, or I really think I'm struggling with my first touch on pass backs, or, you know, with corner kicks and my positioning and getting caught up on the run to the near post. Like, you have to create as a coach an environment that somebody doesn't feel that they might be punished because they say that they're struggling with something.
Absolutely. And I think that one of the great things about my environment at Washington, like my goalkeeping corps at Washington and at Racing, is that both were always so, so collaborative. Like, especially at Racing now, like, we have a very diverse, like, all four of us have very different strengths and weaknesses. So we all are able to, like, coach each other and help each other out. And even, like, Jordan Bloomer was such a great resource for me this year because, obviously, it was super unfortunate that she got hurt. But she was there out at every training watching. Mm-hmm. And she was able to give feedback that even, like, Sergio maybe didn't see things because he was serving in the middle of the drill. And she's standing there behind the goal, and she would pull, like, I would ask her questions, or she would pull me aside and be like, hey, mm-hmm. I think this, and we would have really, really constructive conversations about things. And I think that just contributes to the entire environment and makes it just so, so great to, have information coming from so many different sources and different perspectives too, right? So.
I mean, and that is important as we start wrapping this up, is that you get different perspective. It's not the same voice over and over and over again. And that's why I stress, you know, that to get when you're going through this whole process and doing your individual analysis and everything like that is get different opinions from different people, so that you don't just go with one person and then you think that that's just the gospel type of thing. Everyone's going to see something differently. Well, Liv, I appreciate you taking the time in Hawaii right now in this busy business office.
What time is it there?
It's almost 11 a.m. It's okay. 2 hours behind California. Okay. Yeah, I know. My super busy day while my boyfriend's at work all day, actually, like, I know, making me feel like a bum right now. But
no.
I'm
that's
resting
what we talked.
Recovery.
That's what I talked about.
I know. Rest and recovery.
Is he a soccer guy at all?
No, not really. He was an athlete. He was a water polo player and a rower in college. So he's an athlete, but he's very much a water sport athlete, and I'm the land sport athlete. So we've gone on a couple of runs, and I'm like, oh, you're such a good swimmer, honey. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just don't go on a swim then.
Oh no, we've gone for a couple of swims, and he's kicked my butt, so it evens out for sure. But that's funny. Yeah, it's great.
Oh my gosh.
But thank you guys for having me on. It's great.
Absolutely,
as always.
It's great seeing you, Liv.
Yeah, you guys
too. For sure. Liv, if people want to connect with you on the union, what's your handle?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Liv_Sakani. That's my handle across like pretty much everything. So yeah, reach out, book sessions. I'm around. Can't wait to talk to you. So awesome.
I can't. I mean, this, what a perfect time for you to be able to do sessions when your boyfriend's at work.
Perfect,
you're just
going to
do some mentor sessions
exactly.
In the business office. It's perfect.
Exactly. I'll be here. Hopefully it won't be as loud. I'll find somewhere not as loud to do the sessions.
And obviously, guys, you can reach out to Saskia Weber at Saskia. By the way, shout out to everybody who went to the first parents town hall last week. Shout out to Angie Bryan for putting that together in the parents group. If you guys are not familiar, there's an exclusive private parents group for goalkeeper parents. It is not for goalkeeper parents to learn X's and O's about goalkeeping. It's about to learn how to parent goalkeepers, which I think is extremely important. That's a skill in itself. It's a different animal. And Susk actually joined us for that parents town hall last week. And there were a lot of questions, weren't there, Susk?
There were a lot of questions, and I don't have a kid, and I was answering them. So it's great. It was great. I was like, maybe they'll catch on that I don't have a kid, but I've coached enough of them. So I knew. And I have parents. So I have parents, And they're forever goalkeeper parents, even at my age now. They still are goalkeeper parents. So,
Liv, are your parents still goalkeeper parents?
They absolutely are and always will be.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. All right, guys. And you can obviously reach out to us, contact at InsideThe18Media.com or at Goalkeeper Podcast on the Union for a guest suggestion or a topic suggestion. Shout out to everybody who reached out about asking about exit interviews and IDPs during this time of year. We're actually doing a two-parter. First part is with Liv today from the player's perspective. Next week, we're going to have Sergio.
There you go.
Would you call him your boss?
Like, kind of. Yeah, I guess my boss. I don't know.
Your boss. Next week from the coaching perspective. All right, guys. That's all the time on Inside the 18. And bye, we man. Are out.
Bye, guys. Later, see ya. Bye.